We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What is going on, Colts Nation? Welcome back to another episode of Bring the Juice. Your guy Cody here, back on with me again, Alex from Hail Mary Sports. Thanks for coming on again, Alex. Really do appreciate it as we are continuing our look at some positions of need for the Colts in the draft. And today, Alex, we're going to talk about the edge guys. There are a number of edge guys there potentially for the Indianapolis Colts. And it's a position that I know I would say is a need for Indianapolis. And I know people will say, well, you had, you know, a franchise record in sacks last year. Why is edge rush still an issue? And for me, Alex, I look at it a little bit deeper, look at some of more of the advanced stats, the pressure rate and things like that. And I still think it's on the table for the Indianapolis Colts to go get a legit edge guy. And so with that being said, we will get into it. But before we do that, guys, just wanted to let you know that this episode is presented by Prize Picks. So be sure to go to prizepicks.com, use the code BTJ for a $100 deposit match. All right, Alex, let's jump right into this. Obviously, the Indianapolis Colts pick number 15 here in the 2024 draft. And there are a lot of guys, Alex, that could potentially become available here at pick number 15. So before we dive into some of these prospects, what's your overall thoughts here on this edge class in this draft?
Yeah, so I think it is one of the weaker edge classes that we've had in recent memory. But the top-end talent still has a lot to love. And luckily, this class actually has quite a few steals down the board. I think that the top-end talent, like apart from the very top guys, which we'll talk about in a second, is a bit overrated. Like there's guys like Chop Robinson that we'll probably discuss in here, but I think that they there's a little bit too much pro sentiment on players like that. But there's also some really sneaky players, like we'll probably talk about Marshawn Nyland and guys like Muhammad Kamara. So there's some good sniping dudes out there who I still have as legitimate every down starters, but it might not be as much of a actual impact on your roster as maybe you think.
Sure. So pick 15, is there anybody that you see that probably won't be available in your opinion for the Colts if there were some guys available at 15?
Yeah, the only guy who I almost can guarantee not being there is Dallas Turner. I mean, he's 10% off of being Will Anderson, and that's being a little bit too overcritical of Dallas Turner. Ran 4.47, right around 250 pounds, and he has elite technique. So that's probably the one guy I could almost guarantee. But I also would put a high level of likelihood that Jared Verse would not be there, but still possible.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, who are some of these guys? Break them down. Guys at pick 15 that you think for Indianapolis, if they are there, that you're like, this would be a slam dunk for them. This would be a player that I would be comfortable if I am Chris Ballard adding to this roster and having an instant guy that can be there and make an impact from day one.
Right. So the one guy who I think is a slam dunk is Jared Verse. I mean, the thing is, he's fluctuated a lot over the past year and a half with his weight. He was at 250 pounds, then moved up to 260. All of a sudden, he's 254. The great news is that he looked incredible at 254 pounds, extremely fluid, extremely athletic. compared to when he was 260, he looked really sluggish. So you're getting the best version of Jared Verse after he showed maybe a not so great version of himself, or not the best version of himself on the field, which is a huge plus. He's had some injuries in the past that have, you know, lowered his probably his overall draft stock, which is why he might be available at 15. Also, the NFL in general probably isn't desperate for edge ones the way that it used to be. So you also have a lower demand for edge rushers, which makes it even better for you. So he has an excellent amount of power. Speed to power is his game, as long as he's in shape and has speed. But he ended up being that, so we're going to give him that credit. The thing about him is that he's the best run defending edge rusher that I might have seen, and extremely smart, processes it very well, uses the length properly, had over 33, he might have had 33 bench press reps, and he's running sub 4.6. This guy is an absolute athlete. He's super strong. He's super smart. And he came from Albany and went to Florida State without a hitch in his game, which was awesome. It showed that level of competition doesn't actually affect his play. You know, again, at that frame, that's a dude you can absolutely slide right in, and he could end up being your 10-plus sack guy. But that's probably the one guy I would mention at 15 as being the slam dunk.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Who are some other, because I know there are a few other guys, like, what is your opinion on Leiatu Latu? Because a lot, it feels like there's been a lot of discourse on him with some of the medical stuff and everything like that. Where do you stand on him?
So Latu, he graded out as a 76.5 for me, which is an instant starter right away. For reference, Jared Verse is 79. So not a significant difference, but I'll give my issues with Latu before giving him my praise. He first off has short arms, right? Sub 33 inch arms usually means that you need to have something else to your game, which he has a plethora of pass rush moves. He's very fluid as a mover, and he just knows how to win the hand fighting battle. Now, the issue is a lot of college kids are not prepared for a lot of these pass rush moves the way NFL tackles are. NFL tackles are experienced with being able to block or counter a chop block, right? A cross chop is not something that a 19-year-old offensive tackle is going to know. And then a lot of times these 19-year-olds still are getting used to college speed. So I think a lot of these quick wins for Latu are a little bit over-exaggerated. That's why he has such a high pass rush win rate. It's because he also went up against some Pac-12 tackles that aren't super experienced with really good edge rushers, which is also why Braylon Trice ended up with 80 pressures as well. Jonah Ellis going off as well. So you see a lot of continued success between a lot of very solid edge rushers, but it might not be just because of their talent. And he has a very poor lower body in terms of strength. And when you lack your arm size, you really need to have that strength when an offensive tackle gets their hands on you to be able to change the dynamic. Otherwise, you're going to get stonewalled by an offensive tackle. That's my big issue with him. If you're not able to win with length, you need to be able to win with speed or power. And in the NFL, tackles are pretty damn fast. So you're not really going to be able to win with speed very often. Power is usually the way to at least mitigate the other issues. Don't see that with Latu. However, he is an unbelievable technician. He is unblockable. Granted, when he gets off blocks, I sometimes see him disengage laterally or reverse rather than going through the player. Another issue I have, why he also doesn't have a very powerful lower body. But the talent is there. I mean, his IQ increased exponentially over the past year. Got to give him credit for that. His processing, incredible. I think he would be an asset on this team. I wouldn't say it's a slam dunk, because at 15, there's going to be other options that I think would be a little bit more viable. But I would not criticize it, because you are getting somebody who has elite technique, who has really good fluidity, and you know their weaknesses. So it's much easier to find a path for success when there's really well-defined weaknesses than if you're still deciding on what you need to work on.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned Chop Robinson, so we got to talk about him. I mean, he lit it up at the combine. That's the guy that I feel like a lot of people are super high on. And, you know, it's such an interesting one to me, Alex, because I feel like that is in the past been a typical Ballard type of guy, right? When it comes to pass rush, right?
Right.
Is a guy that has a freak talent, but not necessarily the production to match it, right? The guy that instantly comes to mind for me is Kamoko Touré from 2018, right? A guy who had, incredible athleticism, but he never really had that consistent, 10 plus sacks per year type of guy. But yeah. I don't believe he's a guy that's going to be, in the mid rounds, but talk to me about him and what you see from a guy like Chop Robinson, who's obviously a lot of buzz happening around him after his combine performance.
Yeah. So we talked about this a little bit in the wide receivers video, but there are certain players that it's almost concerning why people get surprised by them showing out in a particular category or not showing out in a particular category. I'm talking about Keon Coleman not being able to separate. He never was able to. And then Xavier Worthy being fast, always was. Chop Robinson was always an athlete. He was always known as that dude who was an incredible athlete, great first step, probably one of the best first steps we've seen in a hot second. But when you look at how he is able to run defend, when you look at the fact that his balance is relatively poor, this guy's on the ground constantly, and his IQ is still developing a ton because, he's not necessarily on the field enough, especially in games that I think really matter. Like Michigan, he had 9 pass rush reps. He got 3 pressures on those. Awesome. But you need a larger sample size to get in rhythm. And of course, those Michigan offensive linemen, RIP to Zach Zinter, but not necessarily the guys who I'd want starting in the NFL. So versus NFL translatable tackles, I didn't see enough reps there for him to be polished enough to start right away. I don't think he should start right away. And that's an issue for a team like the Colts that I think need to have a head honcho to come in rather than going after one of those projects. He has unbelievable athleticism. He has great flashes. But when you look at a consistent basis down to down, there's just not enough there. And no one's talking about it. This guy's just essentially a DPR that needs real mentorship for 2 to 3 years. So great potential, but awful floor. And that's not what the Colts need right now.
As we said, guys, today's episode is sponsored by Prize Picks. Now, what is Prize Picks? Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Instead of battling against thousands of other players across platforms, you're basically picking 2 to 6 player stat projections, and you're choosing more or less on those stat projections to be able to watch those winnings roll in. It's very easy. Do you guys want to play along at some of Prize Picks' favorite players like rapper Meek Mill and UFC fighter Sugar Sean O'Malley? Well, if you guys sign up today, you can find the community plays under the promos tab of the app to view the entries of some of the biggest names on the platform and be a part of that as well. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 just like that with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Like a lot of other things, guys, they also offer injury insurance, so your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. So if someone exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you and the rest of your entry stays live. So it's great bounce back for that one. What I love about the app as well, guys, is it's not just sports like NBA, NHL, football and tennis and baseball and all these other things, but there's also a lot of others that go into it as well. If you like to place entries on video game situations like Call of Duty, CS2, Apex, if that's something that appeals to you, there's a wide variety of sports and video games and everything else that you can place entries on. And I love how expansive it is. Even just looking at the NBA, there's entries you can make with turnovers, with points. You can do combo deals, dunks, field goals attempted, all these different things. So there's just so many different ways to make money off of these entries. Be sure to download the app today and use code BTJ for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code BTJ for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, it's sponsored by Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Yeah. Well, say the Colts were to trade back either late in the first round, or let's even go put it in the second round. You know, the Colts were able to, you know, locate a guy they liked. Who would be some guys that would fit between, say, pick 20 all the way into until their pick there, you know, in the second round, pick 46? Who are some guys in that range that you think would make sense?
So there's a guy who's not too far away. He actually lives in Michigan. He actually went to Western Michigan. His name's Marshawn Kneeland. Got to bring him on the show. So he's actually a great guy. I know his character. And he has a lot of top 30 visits. And based on the ones he told me he did not have, I assume the Colts might be one of them. Just saying. But, you know, pretty damn local guy, you know, Indianapolis to Western Michigan, not too far away. And you get to see someone who is about 270 pounds. He had a faster, I think it was the shuttle, than Chop Robinson. I'll say that again. He had, I think it's three cone. He had a faster three cone than Chop Robinson, who is the elite athlete. So, you know, he has great flexibility. This guy's motor, unending, right? And he has 270 pounds. He actually plays unbelievably well. Great speed to power. There's nothing that's a flaw in his game. Now, I do sometimes think he gasses himself out. That's probably his biggest flaw, is the fact that he goes so hard that he's not always at gas tank full when he needs to be. But this is somebody who has an unending motor, and there's really nothing that I could really point out in his game that is actual issue. I technically have him one spot higher than Latu on my board, but he should be there around that second round pick or that late first, because I do know Detroit would probably love to bring in a fellow Michigan guy. Another name that I would like to throw into the mix, depending on if he actually increases his weight back to his playing weight, is Braylon Trice. He had the lead in FCS and or FBS in terms of pressures at 80 on the year. The second highest, if I'm not mistaken, was 70, so 10 pressures more. But he dropped to 245 for the combine to appear athletic and then wasn't athletic.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
I don't know what the hell that was about, but this guy was a former top five prospect on my board, and you know, the talent's absolutely there. Not great ankle flexion, so he's not going to be a big bender, but he's extremely smart, can process the play, and he has that speed to power. Maybe it's not the biggest amount of speed, but the power is certainly there, and then he also can just play overall at a very high level consistently, and I think that would matter a lot. One name that I will throw into the mix, actually, is, I mean, I want to give a little bit more love to Darius Robinson here. He's just, he didn't run a very fast 40, but when you get to see how he's able to use that 286-pound frame versus offensive tackles, it's amazing to see. They get shocked by his overall speed-to-power ratio. Again, not great in the 40, but you don't need him to run 40 yards. You need him to be able to set the edge and then push the pocket, and that's exactly what he does so well, and that's why he succeeded so well at Mobile.
Yeah, man. It's going to be interesting. I definitely still think pass rush is a need and definitely would love to see Indianapolis address it in some form or fashion. You know, I know that they were allegedly in on Danielle Hunter, so that makes me think they don't think pass rush is completely solved. So I'm holding on to that hope that they look at that and they say, hey, a guy, if Jared Verse is there or somebody like that there in pick 15, they would go after him. But definitely think they need to add more at edge. We'll see what they do. But Alex, thank you so much for tuning in. Alex, thank you so much, man, for coming on. Really do appreciate it. And hey, we'll be back together here in just a minute, man, to talk more about the corners. So really looking forward to that. Thank you, Alex. It's always a pleasure.
Of course. All right.
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. And as always, guys, go Colts.